My guest today is the journalist and food writer Kim Severson. She's the former Atlanta bureau chief for the New York Times. Kim's books include her 2010 memoir, Spoon Fed, How Eight Cooks Saved My Life. She's won 4 James Beard Awards for food writing. Kim Severson, welcome to City Lights.
I'm glad to be here. And, you know, when you meet people that you listen to on the radio in person, sometimes it's quite disappointing. This is exactly the opposite. It is, you're lovelier in person than I could have imagined.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
I'll send out a picture on the Instagram later so everyone can see.
Mutual admiration here, because certainly have been admiring your work for many years. But for some listeners who may not be familiar with your work, can you tell us what it is a food writer does?
Well, we work a lot. We write a lot and we eat a lot. I started out like a lot of people of my generation. We were post-Watergate babies and we ran to journalism school to try to blow the lid off this whole thing, which didn't exactly work out great, but we're still trying. I'd always cooked and I waited tables on my way through college and short order cooked, and my mom cooked, and I was doing a lot of news and feature writing and was able to slowly start to write more about the culture of food, the way people ate. Those were always the stories I was interested in. I was always kind of gravitating toward the kitchen, and eventually got a job as a full-time food news writer back in the late 90s at the San Francisco Chronicle, and that was kind of when I started food writing full-time. But you know, since then, food has just exploded. It is the cultural currency of our time. You know, in the way that jazz was maybe in the 20s or film in the 70s, food is now the way that we really express our culture, I think.
Well, is there a greater common denominator?
No, that's probably true. Everybody eats.
Yeah.
Everybody eats. And even when I was doing news, I came to Atlanta to be the Southern Bureau Chief for the National Desk for the Times. And I got my best tips from people that I started out talking food with. Or if you were out on, you know, a tornado or a shooting or following a politician, all the things that are involved in a job like that. If you start talking food with people, the doors opened.
Immediate connection. Well, I'm delighted you brought up being a Watergate baby or post-Watergate baby, because in this morning's New York Times, there's a feature you wrote about the Atlanta-based chef Asha Gomez with a headline, On a Quest in India. And reading that article, I was reminded of something Kurt Vonnegut once said. This was also in the 70s. And this so disappointed me, Kim, because he may have been my favorite author of all time at that time. And Vonnegut wrote, fiction is melody, journalism is noise.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I'm going to read the opening from your article from this morning's Times. In the shade of a cardamom patch on a South Indian mountainside, Asha Gomez leaned against a tree and began to cry. That's a melody worthy of fiction.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it certainly illustrates your literary approach to food. Also, really proving Kurt Vonnegut wrong. Tell us what you learned with Asha in India.
Well, what a wonderful opportunity to travel with her. She's a chef, as many people know, who had a spa in Atlanta for some time, and the secret weapon was after your Ayurvedic treatment, she would cook for people, and she would cook healing food because the combination of what we traditionally think of as spa treatments here, but of massage and all the other kinds of things, not pedicures probably, but a massage and food and health go together, and they're just tightly woven
in India. That's the Ayurveda.
Right. And so she would feed people, and she opened a restaurant. She lost the spa in the downturn, the recession, And she kept at it and opened a restaurant called Cardamom Hill that some people might remember. So when I first moved to Atlanta, eating at Cardamom Hill I moved here from New York City, and I thought, this is going to work out. They've got good food here. I can handle this. So I was really, really impressed with her food. She had decided to go back to Kerala. She hadn't been to India for 8 years since she went to adopt her son, Ethan. And she wanted to go back and kind of get in touch with it. And since that time, then she had been back, her star has really risen. You know, her book, My Two Souths, in which she does recipes and talks a lot about how Southern India and the Southern United States are very similar in many ways culinarily, which it was really an interesting, eye-opening piece to me. I discovered in Kerala, which is the very southern tip of India, probably the most literate state in India, certainly the most religiously mixed because it was a port city, and a ginormous fried chicken loving population.
And there's a green fried chicken.
There's all kinds of fried chicken there. It's amazing. People love to fry chicken there. So I can sort of see how for Asha it was a mix. But there we were in, you know, she said, I'm going to go. And she's working on a PBS show now. And she had a producer for that and a couple other young kids who film a do video for a web show that she does. It's a recipe. You can subscribe and get recipes. And she said, do you want to come? I was like, sure. So we got a photographer who shot her cookbook, Evan Sung, whose images are beautiful. If nothing else, you should go online to the Times story and see the photographs in our slideshow he sent. But we all piled onto a plane and flew 22 hours to Kerala. And there we were. There I was careening around Kerala in a van with all these people, and it was amazing. It was just a tremendous opportunity to sit back and watch somebody kind of get reintroduced to a country that she left when she was 16, to try to be a TV personality while she was working on, they were filming this show, and they had an Indian film crew with us sometimes, and also to eat and to have memories and to really, I could really just watch the parts of her come together. It was amazing after the course of a few days to see her knit these two parts of her, you know, the sort of U.S. food star part of her, the mom part of her that had adopted a boy from India, and the teenager who grew up there. And so that's when we were in the cardamom field and they were filming. She just had a moment and it all came together. And when you're writing a story like this, you are always looking for that one moment that really, where you can take the reader and drop them in. And that was the moment when she just lost it in that cardamom patch.
Well, and you took us there, you know, the fragrance, the scent of it all, it was just marvelous.
Oh, thank you.
Her love for the food of Kerala, her native state, is an example of how little we in the U.S. know about India, about the 1.3 billion people who live there. How does she hope to address that? How does Asha Gomez hope to address that through her work now?
Well, she talks very much about being an innovator and a translator of sorts. So I certainly didn't know much about the food of Kerala. And she cooks food that is really delicious, for one thing, which helps. Her food is, she's a great cook. But if you've ever listened to her speak, she has this way of articulating that food and making it very personal. And she has just this little slight accent. She'll say, Kim, the black pepper is so, and it's lilting. It's lovely to listen to. I know you're in radio, so you really understand that oral delight. So she has a real ability to explain it in a way that's very simple, but also very rich, and I think it's accessible. So her plan is to keep doing, I think, she does a lot of dinners at Third Space, private dinners. People can call up and say, I want to have this meal or that meal, and she's doing, I think, quite well with that. She's continuing to do media, this PBS show, and I think everywhere she goes, she feels, and I talk in the story how she's trying to lasso the beautiful food of Kerala and drag it back here, and she's just simply an ambassador for it. And I think for not only Indian food, but I also think she's joining an increasing number of cooks and chefs in America who are from other countries who are not mangling or watering down their food to meet the American palate, because the American palate has grown. So now someone from a particular region of Mexico can just cook the regional food they know without feeling like it has to all be covered with cheese and Tex-Mex. Mm-hmm. And that's happening with chefs all over the country. And it's because people are ready to eat that kind of food. We've elevated our cooking skills and our palates over the last decade, and people are very open to new tastes and new flavors.
And it's one more example of the marvels of having a multicultural society. Is we're able to experience all of these things. India is very multicultural, and I think that's something Asha Gomez also hopes to create awareness about, because from reading your article, we learn that, you know, there was a strong Portuguese influence here. They ate pork. They eat pork. Mm-hmm. And wine. And,
yeah. And, you know, I was so fascinated with India because I, you know, like all of us, and perhaps we grew up with the very accessible tandoori and the, you know, maybe a little vindaloo if we got, you know, excited and naan. And, you know, but it is that sort of British-influenced Indian food that we ate. Butter chicken, you know, that's not an Indian dish. It's sort of the British influence of, you know, interpretation of Indian food. When we got there, I was just so fascinated. You know, there's the region of Kerala is very, it's almost gluten-free. It's almost all rice. But people in India are so specific about the food that comes from their region. One of the people that I interviewed said that there will be people who travel from North India to Kerala for whatever reason, and they will bring 20 people in a bus, and they'll come down, and they'll bring their own cooks and negotiate with the hotel to have the cook go into the hotel kitchen and cook the food from their region. People are so, I mean, they're worse than Italians like this. So like, the food from my, you know, they have to eat the food from their region. It's fascinating. And then, you know, religious doctrine comes into how people eat in India, obviously. In Kerala, it's about a little over half Hindu, and there's a bunch of Muslims, and so who brought with them the biryanis and the rice dishes. So in Kerala, because it's such a mixed community, some of the best biryanis, particularly in North Kerala, the best biryanis in India are from that, which you wouldn't think of. So these are all, I was just, every day, my little notebook was filled and filled and filled with things like this.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to City Lights on 90.1 WABE, where ATL meets NPR. I'm Lois Reitzes, here with you and Kim Severson, food writer and correspondent covering the nation's food culture for The New York Times. We'll be back after a short break. With Kim Severson of the New York Times on City Lights, talking about, among other things, this morning's feature in the New York Times on a quest in India. Kim, when you described Asha's passion for her Two Souths, her book, and that take, it kind of reminded me of something that you hinted at early on when you came here about your appreciation of how Southern food and Atlanta restaurants being farm-driven. And you even paid an enormous compliment, I thought, when you compared Southerners and food to Italians.
Oh, I think that's really true. And I came down like a lot of people who didn't live in the South, and had sort of a monolithic view of Southern food and the region. And as I traveled from state to state, as I did when I was doing the job for the national desk, and would be in small towns, and I came to see that, you know, the way someone makes greens in Robeson County and makes them into a collard sandwich on two little fried slices of fried pieces of cornbread could not be more different than how somebody in Arkansas might make greens, if they make them at all, because there's not a lot of collards up in Arkansas. The way somebody in South Carolina, what they're going to have on their dinner table could not be more different than what somebody in northern Louisiana does. And I came to see how regional the South was, because it's very agriculturally driven in the way that Italy is. It's small enough and personal enough that people pass recipes on, you know, almost county to county, the recipes can be different. And so it really reminded me of Italy in that way. And it is very much an of-the-table culture. It's not so much about technique, although technique matters, but it's really about a sense of place and making food making food at the table for that day and how you're going to feed your family, which is very much like Italy to me. It was a great revelation.
Well, it's all about warmth and family and sharing food. And I really hope you'll want to come back, will you?
Absolutely. Can we cook together sometime?
Oh, my goodness.
We can cook on the radio. It'll be fantastic.
Oh, I'd love it. Okay, just got this studio renovated. How about a kitchen in here?
That's what we need. We could do it. We put a hot plate right over there.
Kim Severson covers the nation's food culture for the New York Times. Her writing also appears in Garden and Gun magazine. She's won 4 James Beard Awards for food writing, and her books include the remarkable memoir Spoon Fed, How 8 Cooks Saved My Life. Kim Severson, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. My great pleasure.